Well, howdy again. I don't think I'm going to be doing this every day, but as often as the Holy Spirit makes it possible and prompts me to do this. But this whole thing that I'm doing is just trying to define and describe to you this way of life called Christianity. Often in the New Testament, the people of God are referred to as people of the way. And those who persecuted them referred to them often as people of the way. And Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And so there is a way of life that Jesus lives that he wants us to experience, not by imitation, but by participation in him, who isn't just the way of life. He lives that way of life in us and through us. But we need to understand what that way of life looks like, because it is different than the life we've lived in the flesh. And I've often defended in my own heart or excused actions or attitudes or words that really didn't represent the way of life that Jesus lives. It isn't the way of life that Jesus lives, and the result of it is it's robbed me of fully experiencing my participation in the life of God that is mine in Christ. Jesus said that he's our life. It's not just that he's our friend, that he's our Lord, that he's our Savior, that he's our very life. And he is the source of the Christian life. He's the one who in us lives his remarkable life and allowing us to participate in the life of God that he lives. And so there are things I want to look at when we do this, certain aspects, certain things that the Lord's been teaching me, particularly for the last couple of years. I discovered a long time ago when I was 25 years old, so that was 46 years ago, what it meant to be in Christ, for Christ to be in me, to live his life through me. It was the most liberating thing I've ever known. I was set free in the spring of 1978, having surrendered my life fully to Christ in the spring of 1976. But a couple of years ago, there was just like this another breakthrough. You know, we go from glory to glory in the Lord, from breakthrough to breakthrough, because the whole Christian life is a breakthrough into the experience of the life of Christ more and more, because his riches are unsearchable. So we break through into new experience and expression of the riches of Christ in us. And so a couple of years ago, it began on a Mother's Day a couple of years ago. Even before that, a little bit for me, about a year after Olivia's death, my wife's death, God began to do a new thing in me and give me fresh language. Not a new something contradictory to what I had known and discovered about Christ living through me, but just fresh insight and revelation about that in fresh language. So let me talk to you about this. I want to talk to you about being set free from complaining. It says this in Philippians chapter 2. Do all things without murmuring or complaining. Let me read that verse again. Do all things without murmuring or complaining. Wow, that sounds like a challenge, doesn't it? Man, but it's not just a challenge. And I don't want you to see it as a challenge, because complaining is such a normal part of the way many of us, maybe most of us, live our lives. But he says, do all things without murmuring or complaining, because Jesus doesn't complain. And if he's my life and he's living in me, the way of life that he is, the life that is true, that is true life, is a life of not complaining. And so to get set free from being a complainer, from complaining, is so extraordinarily joyful and liberating. He goes on, he says in the next verse, he says, do all things without murmuring or complaining, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Wow. Our shining, the degree to which we shine into this fallen world, is impacted by whether we're set free from a life of murmuring and complaining. So let me give you where God really spoke this in a profound way to me. Last May, I think it was May, when we were coming back from a trip to Uganda, we were going through the Entebbe Airport. Now, the Entebbe Airport is an interesting place because, for whatever reason, they have air conditioning, but they don't, I guess they're saving money, so they don't turn it down much. And so when you get there, even though most of the people who are there at the airport are going to be flying overseas, long flights, so it's sort of a beginning of a grueling journey, especially if you're going to America, and because it's like two long flights. And so when you get to the airport, it's the temperature's just warm enough to make you kind of, you know, sweaty a little bit or just uncomfortable and thinking, oh my gosh, this is not how I want to feel when I start off a trip. And then, and this is true in many places in Africa, when you go through and you get in to check your bags and they'll take you through a security. So you put all your stuff on the belt and conveyor and it goes through. And for me, they decided they needed to check the carry-on bag that I was carrying was full of stuff. And so they also had me take off my shoes, and I was wearing these boots because they're real comfortable. And so that was kind of aggravating because I take off the boots. I was already uncomfortable because of the temperature, and it was the end of a long, long, grueling trip. Wonderful trip, but grueling trip physically. So I'm taking off my boots, and I go through the line, and they tell me they're going to search my bag. Well, I wasn't really happy with that. And so they went through my bag, put everything back in, not the way it was before. I go, and literally about 100 steps beyond that, there's another security thing. Why that is so, I don't know. I haven't a clue. It's just TIA. This is Africa. And so I get to this next one. You know, our team are going through, and now it's my turn to go through. Once again, I'm having to take off my boots. And then I take it through. They send my carry-on bag through the little x-ray thing, and they want to search it again. Now, unless I had somehow figured out how to slip some bomb in that bag or some weapon 100 feet between this security thing than the last one, and you could see them from each other, so there's not like you were going through these twisted corridors where somebody might sneak something into your bag. So they're going through my bag again. And so I'm all those things are going on. I'm tired. I'm now warm. I've now had to unlace my boots, lace them back on twice. They're going through my bag again. And I began to fuss and complain at this poor guy, with this poor guy, African, who's working there. You know, a lot of Africans don't have jobs at all. And I've never really done anything like that before. But it had started back at the first security thing. It started back with me having to take my boots off and this, the whole deal. And so I'm not like mad or angry or loud, but I am aggravated and fussing at him about why are you doing this when they just did this, you know? And so he has this look on his face and I'm sure that's happened with him a lot with Westerners. And at some point I fussed enough to where he just finally quit and put everything back. And just the look on his face was it was not good. He wasn't angry. He was like just sort of despondent. It wasn't, what do you do? You know, what was he to do with me? So I get my bag and I go walk down the corridor to go sit down with everybody waiting for the plane to board and all that kind of thing. But the Lord just began to speak to me. And I thought, wow, that was so unchristlike. So wrong, you know, and because Jesus began to said, Chuck, you know, I don't complain ever. I thought, wow. And how I would probably hurt this person. So I went back, and he's now, of course, looking through a different bag from another passenger. And I said, excuse me. And he looked at me with sort of a look of horror on his face, because I guess he thought I was going to fuss at him some more. And I just said to him, I said, look, I just really need you to forgive me. I said, it was really wrong for me to complain like I was complaining. I'm so grateful that you're doing the job that you do. And I just wanted to tell you, thank you for what you do. And again, apologize, ask you to please forgive me. Man, this big smile broke out on his face. He'd probably never had a Westerner ask his forgiveness before. And so it was so cool. He had an encounter with the Lord, and that was so great. That was awesome. And so I left, went back again, and sat down in my place waiting for the time we could board the plane. And I'm talking to the Lord about that. And I said, Lord, man, Lord, you would never act like that. And he stopped me gently, but he stopped me suddenly. And he said, I didn't. That was all you, Chuck. I thought it was so convicting in a wonderful way. And the Lord just was teaching me about the fact that he doesn't complain. And complaining is not Christ-like. And it's not the way of life. This way of life that Jesus lives, that's not the way he lives that life. Now, I've had to grow in that because it's so easy to complain, isn't it? And we get caught in it so quickly. It's like one of those little foxes. But it's the little foxes that are ruining the vineyard, the scripture says, while the vines are in blossom. It's those kind of things the enemy uses to strangle us, strangle life kind of out of us spiritually. But I just wanted to share with you today my story and what God spoke to me that night in Entebbe. It was about 11:30 at night. But I wanted you to hear what I heard and what was so liberating for me and what scripture makes clear is that Jesus doesn't complain. And he's not a complainer. And that if you're complaining, you can know that's not Christ. And if you're going to experience this way of life that Jesus lives, it's a complaint-free life. But let me just say that when you start walking that out, it is so wonderful to not complain. And you'll be stunned to discover how much time you wasted complaining about things pretty much every day. So anyway, just going to give you another word about this way of life that Jesus lived. And it's a life without complaining. All right, God bless. Have a great day. No complaining the rest of the day.